Our God is great and he's greatly to be praised. Just shut your eyes for a moment, and while you're holding that hand, encourage them and say, whatever you do, tell them, say, don't give up. Tell them, whichever way you look, tell them, don't look back. Let's pray and believe God today. Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for your goodness and your mercy, for your love and your care. You are awesome. You are mighty. You're all powerful. And Lord, tonight we come to give you praise, glory, and honor. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us, for blessing us, for perfecting us, for sustaining us, for keeping us. Matter of fact, before we go any further, we just gonna tell you thank you for everything. Matter of fact, thank you for what we forgot to say thank you about. Father, we praise you. Now, Lord, move in this house. Throw your weight around again. May nobody leave this place empty tonight, but may everybody leave full of fire, full of faith, and full of the Holy Spirit. We pray this prayer in faith in Jesus' name. And all who agree, would you scream amen. Would you clap your hands thunderously and bless the Lord? Hallelujah. Come on, bring it to me. Praise the Lord. Whoever is near you, tell them I'm excited about your future. Tell them I'm excited. Yes. Oh, bless the Lord. This is good. Praise God. This is great. Yes. Hallelujah. It is so good to be in the house of the Lord one more time. I'm honored and thankful. Thankful to be here again tonight. And let me just say before we jump into the message how honored I am that you would call me to come and share a word with you. Amen. We can lose the ping, but keep the volume and the bass in there. That's perfect. I'm preaching every day all the way till next week. I need this. Amen. Lord help. I'm just honored and thankful to be in this house and to share with you during this time. I believe God's up to something. And I believe God didn't send me here by accident. So the things that the Lord has released has been a blessing to you. Would you do me a favor and would you thank God for the leaders that God has placed even while you're in transition? Come on, all of the leaders that you have, Deacon Nix and everybody else who's on the team. I know I don't know all your names, but you're all on the team together. Come on, show them some love. Thank God for the preachers who occupy the pulpit, Reverend Lingam and others. Come on, celebrate them. Praise God. Amen. I love your deacon's ministry, but you got one guy who just needs some prayer because he's a Giants fan. So we praying for him. Amen. It's unlawful to be in South Philly and be a Giants fan. I brought my hat just for him tonight. Amen. Amen. Listen, last night I rode solo, but tonight I'm thankful that some of our church, I see y'all sprinkled around there. Bless God for you. We took our Wednesday night worship on the road and decided to come here with you. And my lovely, beautiful wife is here with me tonight. She a bad something. I fixed that good. I fixed it real good. It could have went any way after that, but I was cool. Praise God. Praise God. My daughter ran. I told y'all she ran track yesterday. She ran today and everything good. And she went, did well, came in second. Come on. Praise God for that. She's going to be like, Dad, you embarrassing me. I didn't say it was Danielle, but it's Danielle. Amen. Praise God. I want to jump into the word of the Lord. Y'all ready for the word? You ain't even got to sit down. Just get your Bibles. Go to Mark chapter number 8. Mark chapter 8.
You can turn it down just a little bit in the monitors and we'll be good. As long as we don't get the ping, we'll be all right. Mark chapter number 8. Praise the Lord. As soon as you have that, I want you to jump on your feet as we stand together and read God's holy word. Mark chapter number 8. Matthew, Mark. Tell somebody, you should have been here last night. They don't understand. Mark chapter number 8 and verse 22 is where we'll begin. As soon as you have it, scream, I got it.
I got it.
Then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. He looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Then he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town or tell anyone in town. The word of the Lord is blessed, and all who agree with you say, amen. Would you do me a favor before you take your seat? Look at the person closest to you and say these words to them. Just tell them, the Lord is going to clear up all of the confusion. You may be seated in the presence of God. Your neighbor didn't need that word, so encourage yourself and say, the Lord is going to clear up all of my confusion. While there are many things that I must attribute to the power of God and to his nature, his divine will and plan in our lives, or in my life even in particular, I have to be absolutely honest with you that I don't always agree with everything God does. Pastor, what do you mean by that? You might have a different relationship with God than I, but I found myself sometimes saying, God, why would you put me in this? This doesn't make any sense. He'll tell me about where he wants me to end up, but he doesn't tell me what I got to deal with on the way to whatever he promised I would end up to. So he speaks a word of destiny over me and says that I'm blessed and highly favored, but he didn't tell me that I would have to go through many burdens and afflictions to receive this blessing. And if you'll be honest today, you kind of have the same burden as well, where God will give you a picture you cannot see, but he doesn't reveal what you have to go through in order for you to get to this vision he gave you. And while the word is true, where it says where there's no vision, the people do perish, that is absolutely correct. But I want to tell you that sometimes it's dangerous to have a vision because you can't have one without burdens. He told me I needed a vision, but he didn't exclaim to me that the vision would only come if I had trial. It was Habakkuk who would write these words where he said, write the vision and make it plain so that those who would read it would be able to run with that vision. But he's only able to talk about the vision in Habakkuk 2 because Habakkuk 1 says that there was a burden that was in him, which means he tells me I need a vision, but he didn't reveal that visions are birthed through burden, that you have to have a burden in order for you to see something you've never seen before. Many people have lived in this world and perhaps even in church, and their claim that they have been trying to figure out day in and day out is simply this: Lord, what on earth am I here for? This is a question that has plagued man for quite some time and individuals alike, because people are always trying to figure out what their purpose is, because nobody wants to waste time. Nobody wants to be aimless and doing things without any sense of direction for what it is that they're doing. However, while we are asking the question, what am I here for? We forget that he can only reveal it through the burdens that you have. I'll give you an example. Most people ask, Lord, what is my ministry? Where do I fit? And I often tell people, you'll find your ministry connected to your misery. Okay, you'll get it in a moment, okay? Whatever burdens you enough is the thing you are often called to, because he uses the burden to be the setup to put you in a position that you would have never been in before. And the enemy's desire is to cause you to live without this mentality of what the burden is, but you just do what somebody else put on you and operate in what somebody else called you to. But you might see that in me, but it doesn't mean anything if I can't see it in myself. And God's will is that we would stop trying to put on people what we think they should be and how they think, why we think they should be, and let the Lord develop them through their own burden, through their own experience, so they can come to the full reality of what they've been called for. Let me see if we can make a little more sense out of this. If you don't have a burden, you can't have a mission. If there's nothing that gets on your last nerve, then you're not really anointed for anything. Most people think that anointing is for comfort and calm, but absolutely not. If you are anointed, it's because God wants to use you through chaos. He wants to use you through a moment that doesn't make sense, because he knows you won't defile the moment, because your life is connected to it. It means something to you to do it. That's why when you see a person who's not being taught right, you realize you got the call to be a teacher. That's how you can see when somebody is not using their influence in the right way. You realize that there's a call of leadership on you. I've struggled with this mentality because there are many in the church that want to be in the front but have yet to take in the burden. Anybody can say that they are walking after Jesus, but you can't walk after him until you've got some burdens. I know what you're saying. When I got with Jesus, my burdens were gone. No, you didn't. That's the wrong Jesus. Because he said his yoke is easy and his burdens are light, which identifies I'm not absent of the burden. It just doesn't weigh me down. Lord, I wish I would help me preach in here. Would you look at somebody close and tell them, I got a burden. I got a burden. To you, it's just a burden. To you, it's just a trouble. But for me, I see it as my calling. I see it as something that I don't need energy for. I wake up with energy to do it. And there is something that God is trying to purpose in you and get you to realize that that's how you find out what you are called to do. Not by looking outward, not by listening to somebody else, but by saying, Lord, show me. Show me the burden that is in my life by which I'm called to do something. Pastor, what does this have to do with anything? Has something to do with everything, because it identifies the ministry of Jesus. Jesus had a burden on him, and the burden Jesus had was he could not stand for people, listen to this, to be stuck in a place when more was available to them. His issue is he cannot stand for people to live in confusion. Matter of fact, we read in the scriptures that he is not God, that he is the author of confusion. What is amazing is that if he is not the author of it, that gives me implication that that's something he does not want to exist. You missing it? So every time confusion shows up, you will soon see God, because he never likes confusion to stay. Oh, I'm going somewhere. Let me help you. The book of Genesis says it this way. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was formless. It was void. It was empty. And darkness hovered over the surface of the deep. But the Spirit would hover over the waters. You missed it. You don't understand. There is something called the gap theory, where in between verse number 1 and verse number 2, they identify that something had to happen. Scholars suggest
suggest it was when the Lucifer was kicked out of heaven because he didn't want to honor God and didn't want to worship God. And so when God's creating everything, the first thing that shows up is confusion. The first thing that shows up is darkness. The Hebrew word there is confusion. Tohu buhu is what it means. It is confusion. It means that something is disarray and darkness is trying to rule. But the moment God saw that, he didn't let it stay but for a little bit. Because verse 3 said, and God said, let there be light. And there it was. I'm here to tell you, you ought not be dismayed tonight. If you've got anything confused in your life, God ain't going to let it stay. So just as he worked it in the beginning, he say, I'm going to work in your life. And the only way to bring you out of confusion is to give you a word that'll change everything. Lord, I thank you. That's why you had to beat your everything to get to church tonight. You left work early today. You made sure you skipped your lunch and said, I'm getting to the house of God because ain't nothing going to stop me from getting what I need so I can continue doing as he called me to do. You know, some people live off of food, but then there are others of us who live not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And when you got a word in you, you can stand through things that other people fall in. Elbow somebody, say, I got a word in me. So Jesus doesn't like to see that. And he comes to an interesting place. The place Jesus comes to is called Bethsaida. Bethsaida is Vegas on steroids. Every and anything could go on in Bethsaida. There was no rules. You could do whatever you wanted to do. And the text gives us something interesting that I thought was phenomenal in Vegas or in Bethesda, Bethsaida. It says that there were some people in there who heard Jesus was coming. They knew where Jesus would be. And they saw a brother who was blind and brought that brother to Jesus. All right, first thing I want you to understand is how powerful God can be. That he will put somebody who's righteous in an unrighteous situation so that unrighteous people have a route to get out of their confusion. See, some of you can't leave some of the places God has placed you, not because you don't want to, but because you called to it. Okay, you don't understand. They could have very well moved to a different region in a different area of town, but because they were called to Bethsaida, they had to be willing to be the only ones holy in an unholy area. Maybe their name aren't mentioned, but it doesn't have to be, because their mindset was, we got to get this man to Jesus. And there ought to be something in you that makes you realize you are where you are not to promote yourself and not just to gain everything you desire, but you are where you are so that somebody can find Christ, because they may not see a Bible, but they should see his spirit when they look at you. They may never know chapter and verse, but you're their neighbor because you're their chapter and verse. You missed it. In other words, he uses your life as the testimony that would make way so that somebody would believe. What is amazing is that the brother said, take me. He had to have faith that they knew something he didn't know, which means they had to be living such a life that that's when Jesus saw this man, he said, look at their faith. They were courageous enough to bring me somebody to heal in a heathen town. I know you got a good hallelujah in this sanctuary. We gonna high five, we dancing, we shouting, we waving, oh, we singing. But my question is, when you at work, is that hallelujah still there? When you live on the block you live on, is that glory still in you? Because if it only works in here, it's fake. I done got in trouble. Lord help. You do understand God's trying to get rid of fake and phony. Can we kill a demon tonight? Can we kill everything that is fake and phony and get rid of everything that appears to be righteous, but it doesn't have no holiness at all? The Bible says you have a form of godliness, but you deny the power thereof. There's a whole lot of people who look holy, but they understand they're holy in a whole nother way. You'll get it later. Okay.
I got to get out of here. I'm in so much trouble. Okay. Okay, nobody left. I'm cool. Okay. So, whew, Jesus. So Jesus comes to the place, and they bring this man to Jesus. And when they bring this man to Jesus, something crazy happens. There are four things I want to bring out to you that happens for this man that's going to happen for you. All right? First thing that Jesus does with this man, because if you're not Jesus, you the man. All right, so if you're not the one who's called to get somebody out, then you're the one who's stuck in. And do you know that sometimes you can be in something so long that you don't even know you stuck? Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? Because you ride in your car all the time. And it wasn't until somebody got in your car and told, "What is that smell?" To you, it didn't bother you because you in it all the time. I figured out why some people don't change. It's because they've gotten used to what they were never supposed to get used to. Your route should never turn into your destination. You missed it. The route should never be your destination. You can't get happy and start settling in an area that you're only supposed to pass through. This is too much. Okay, watch what happens. I gotta go. He says, "This is the brother." They say, "Yeah, Jesus, please touch him. Do something for him. He blind." All right, Jesus does something interesting. He grabs him by the hand and leads him out of the village. All right. First thing I want to tell you is that you will notice Jesus does not deal with this man's condition yet. The first thing Jesus did was change his location. He changed his environment. Now, this is important because everybody doesn't have his testimony. Pastor, why? Because there are sometimes, in order for a healing to begin, you can't stay around the same individuals. You can't have access to the same things. Maybe that's why some things are still confusing to you. It's not that God hasn't given you vision. It's that you're getting more word from your confusion than you are about whatever God has shown you. So before we can go any further, he's got to remove you away from everything that brings confusion. Some people can get healed in it, but there are others who God has to take out of it, because as long as you're in the environment, you'll continue to be susceptible to it. You'll continue to live by it. You'll continue to abide by it. You don't understand what I'm telling you. You trying to pray, but your girls and them want to go out. You trying to live holy and not go into another cycle relationship, but they want you to meet somebody. Every now and again, you better test yourself and realize that God might be separating me for a reason. It's not that I'm stuck up. It's not that I think I'm better than you, but I realize I just can't be here. All right, okay, here's what messed me up, sis. This is what messed me up. He didn't tell the man, "Follow me." I hope y'all ready for this. Your Bible says he grabbed him by the hand and pulled him out of the village, which identifies that he actually snatched him away from what he was comfortable in. Can you just consider what your life would be like if the Lord didn't snatch you from some stuff? Sometimes he's got to remove you, because we can't be trusted to move ourselves. So he snatches me away from some things so that I never repeat that thing again. God, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Look at somebody and say, "He snatched me. He snatched me." Do you think this holiness is mine? You think I got this because I prayed for it? Well, the only reason I am where I am is because he snatched me in the nick of time. Matter of fact, I didn't even have any decisions about my life. He made a way for me I could have never made. Lord, tonight I thank you for snatching me. Touch everybody you can and tell him he gonna snatch you. You don't understand. When it says he snatches him, it means he did it real quick. I wish I could help somebody and tell you, you ain't gonna have to wait next year for this one. You ain't gonna have to wait 3 years for this one. You ain't got to wait a long time for this one. God says, "I'm in the snatching business tonight, and I'm willing to get you out right now. I'm willing to pull you out right now. Don't worry about your door.
gonna snatch you. Don't you worry about your son. God's gonna snatch every parent in here praying for their child. Just jump up and praise God, because God's going to snatch your child back into his presence. He's going to snatch them back into recognizing his glory. He didn't just save you. He tried to save your whole family. He want to make sure your children's children get it. Matter of fact, to the third and the fourth generation, it's going to be on you. The anointing ain't just for you. It's for your whole household. He snatched. High five a parent near you and tell them, my children just been snatched. Our children. That's why I'm not worried about what man can do to them, because I know my God's got a hand of protection on them. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Okay, be seated. Good God Almighty. Y'all excuse me in here. Before we go any further, I know it's the last night, we gotta go. But can you think about one thing you know God snatched you from? And give him a praise you forgot to give him. Just thank him, because you know he got you out just in the nick of time. And thank him because you know he made a way when he didn't have to. Somebody holler, he snatched me. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Whew. Hallelujah. Be seated. Be seated. Oh, glory to your name. Thank you, Jesus. All right, first thing Jesus does is he takes them by the hand and he snatched them out of that village. All right, now here's the crazy part. This is what blew my mind, okay? Here's what blows my mind. The text doesn't tell us where he took them. And as you heard our illustrious, eloquent preacher introduce me tonight, he suggests, and I thank God for his suggestion, that there was some biblical astuteness to my delivery. So I just like to tell you, if it's not written, then it means something. Maybe the issue is not where he's taking you. Maybe it's more important that I know who I'm with. You missed it. It's not necessarily where I'm going, but I know who I'm with where I'm going. It changes everything, because if I know where I'm going, then I'll try to get there myself. But if I'm rolling with somebody who I don't really know where I'm headed, I got to trust them along the way, then he's trying to build something in me. God never intended for any of us to be pilots in our life. He insisted that we would allow him to lead us, which is why Romans 8 says that we are not after the flesh, but we must be spirit led. You can't connect to God and be fleshly, because God is spirit. There must be a connection that comes through the spirit and not through the flesh. If I'm making any sense, would you say amen? First thing he does is he snatches him out. But after he snatches him out, there's something else that happens. He gets them wherever they are. We don't know where that is, but wherever they are, watch this. It's away from the people who brought him. And he says, he does something for this man that doesn't make sense. He spit in the man's eyes. All right, this side don't feel me. Let me holler at y'all. You understand? The Bible says, I just want to read it. It says, he took the blind man by the hand, led him out of the town, and then he spit on his eyes. Now listen, I don't know about y'all, but I just want to be real with you. You know, I ain't from South Philly, but I got a little hoodish in me. Okay, so I just want to be real with you. Can we just be real tonight? Now, you can step on my foot. We're going to be good. You know, excuse me. whether you say it or not. I'm cool. I might say something to my wife, but I ain't going to say nothing to you. It's all right. You know, you bump me. We walking around. Okay, it's cool. No problem. Excuse you. I got that. You stole my parking space. I'm a little warm with you. Now I got to walk, but it's okay. It's all right. I might need to exercise the extra steps. You know, whatever. Here's the thing. But if you spit on me, No. I know you Holy Ghost filled. I know you talk in tongues, you wave, you jump, you shout, you got the anointing on you. But my question is, how do you handle things when you disrespect it? Let me add some tension to this, because I want you to realize the man thought he was coming to Jesus. But he had no idea that the road to his healing involved him enduring a season of disrespect. You understand? Jesus spit in his eyes. You understand? Can we all agree that the man's issue is in his eyes? Because I don't know if I told you, he can't see. Text says he's blind. So for Jesus to spit in his eyes means he's adding to his situation. Does it ever mess you up when it seems as if he told you you on the road to healing, but it got worse before it got? I don't know if I'm in the right house tonight, but I just feel that there's somebody I'm being led of the Lord to encourage, because you think you're out of God's will. You think based on what you're experiencing that God's hand isn't on you, when sometimes you got to start from the ground up. And he wants to know, are you concerned with being healed? Are you concerned with being respected?
You don't understand. Pastor, what does that mean? Because if my concern is just about me getting some respect, then that means I'm concerned about me. My position, who I am. You know what you say to them people again? Who do they think they are talking to me like that? I want you to understand, you can't really be anointed until you can survive some seasons where people say some horrific things to you. Watch this, and you don't say nothing back. Oh, you don't like that. Jesus said you ought to turn the other cheek. Oh, now you don't want to be Christian. You done turned on me. But I'm trying to get you to realize that sometimes the holiness in you will keep you silent when you want to lash out. Because remember, you don't even know what God is doing for you. There are many of us who mess up our miracle because it doesn't happen the way we want it to. God never brings anything the way you want it. Salvation couldn't come the way we wanted it. That's why he hooked up with Mary, who was a virgin, in order to bring Jesus. You didn't get it. You didn't get it. Every other child had to be born with a man's involvement. But he wanted to prove, if I'm going to save you, I don't need man at all. You totally missed it. You totally missed it. See, that's your issue. You so busy trying to get cool with everybody that you are missing what you are there for. There are some things you are there to for just a reason. You ought to identify that reason and not be upset when any other thing determines or speaks up concerning it. Am I making any sense to y'all? It's unusual. Number one, he pulled him out the village, but then he does something unusual. He spit in his eyes. Wait a second. Not only does he spit in his eyes, but he does something crazy. He spits in his eyes, and then he lays hands on him. Hold up, Jesus. Wait a minute. You disrespect me first, but then you console me later. Which means that really we missed what Jesus was doing. It really wasn't disrespect. It is the equivalent to a surgery. You can't have a surgery without the doctor cutting you. Oh, God, I thank you. Lord, I bless you. See, some of us get mad with the cut, but if the cut's gonna heal,
Okay. There's a great preacher mentor of mine, Bishop Noel Jones. He was talking to us, some young preachers, maybe about, I want to say at least about 10, 15 years ago. We were in Atlanta, Georgia, and he got a few of us together, and he was just talking. He said, listen, you young guys, y'all need to know the power of a cut, because every cut has a purpose. And I'm standing there looking at him. He said, listen, I was in the gym the other day. He said, I was playing basketball with this guy. I'm checking my man. And we got in the locker room, and he got mad because I was old and I could check him. And I had to tease him and tell him that's because I wasn't out there, but that was something else. At any rate, we were just talking. And as we were talking, he says, listen, we got in the locker room, and the man had a cut, a scar from the top of his chest down to his navel. And he asked the man, he said, what happened to you? Did somebody stab you? He said, I didn't know you was in the gang or nothing. The guy said, no, I had open heart surgery. He said, then a week later, I had to do the funeral for someone who had a minor cut that was about 6 inches, but it pierced his heart and he died instantly. He said, now, brothers, one small cut ended a life, while one major cut saved a life. He said, the issue is never the cut. The issue is who's doing the cutting. And I came to tell you that you can handle dealing with the cuts in your life when you know it's the Lord doing it, because he'll never leave you cut without putting his hand back on you to heal you of any of the wounds you suffered. Everyone say it was unusual. Number one, he pulled him out of the city. Number two, he did something unusual. He spit on his eyes. He laid hands on him. Then here's what your Bible says around verse number 24. He said in the 23 and the 24, what do you see? That leads me to my third situation. I only got four situations tonight, so this is my third one. Here's my issue. Jesus, you're all-knowing. We know you to be God in the flesh. Matter of fact, he's 100% God and 100% man. All right, I didn't get many amens on that. Let me just make sure I'm in the right room. He is God in the flesh. We all can agree with that. Amen. Okay, I know that he has this anointing on him, because when you read John and he has the conversation with the woman who's at the well, he says to her that you've been with five and the one you're with now isn't yours. And he just met her at the well, which means that he had to be on. The Lord was using him. Are we still here? So what bothers me is, Lord, why would you ask a question? You touch this man and then ask them, what do you see? And I could not for a minute, I couldn't understand this. I was struggling with it. And then it hit me. The Spirit gave me life and showed me something. See, he'll always test your progression. Because hear me, every healing is not instantaneous. All right, y'all want to have church. But see, there are some people who think if it don't happen in the service, then that means the anointing wasn't there for me to be healed. You's a lie. No. It don't have to happen in the service. If you get anointed enough and get the word in you, you can get it while you at home before you get to service. You didn't get what I just said to you. Pastor, what you trying to tell me? Jesus was trying to see how long or how far this man had come, because he wanted us all to understand that what happens for some instantly, it takes a process for others to come out of. Please stop letting people judge you because you're still in your process. I ain't all the way where I'm supposed to be, but my thankfulness to God is that I'm not where I started. He's still working on me. He's still perfecting me. He still got his hands on me. Do you know so many people will judge you based on where you are and suggest God ain't using you or God's hand ain't on you because of what you in? The devil is a liar. I know my God will lead me through the valley of the shadow of death, and I won't fear no evil because he is with me. He said, what do you see? What do you see? What do you see? What do you see? Okay, now, I'm going to show you something that most people skip in this text. And I hope you didn't skip it. It's right there in front of you. I hope you didn't miss it. I want to tell you, this man had sight before. Look how some of y'all looking at me. Wait a minute, Pastor. It's in your Bible. I'm going to get out of here. But here's how I know he had sight before. You ready? Here's what your Bible says. It says his answer was, I see men like trees walking. If you ain't never seen, how in the world do you know what a man or a tree looks like? Watch this. Okay. Hope y'all ready for this. Okay. So Jesus was asking the question to see if he had come out of his past yet. Because his confusion was locked to his past. Tonight, the Lord sent me to Church of Redeemer to tell you that your confusion is coming from an area you have not closed yet. Until you shut that door, You hinder yourself from stepping in and seeing anything greater. You're still stuck on what's behind you. And God said it's confusing you. That's why you see a man like a tree and a tree like a man. The thing that should have been planted, you saw moving. I ain't got no help in this building. Elbow your neighbor and say, that's confusion. That's confusion. Please understand something. Before I go any further, let me just tell you, please beware of people who are confused because it will rub off on you. You can't hang around confused individuals because they'll make you confused, and you were sane before you talked to them. But after you had a conversation with them, they got you all twisted up, and now you done lost your joy, and it's taking you 3 weeks to get your praise back. Everybody and say, I can't handle confusion. Why do you see things that are supposed to be still moving? And the things that are supposed to be moving, you see them as still. It is a word to the church. And I want you to hear me clearly as I drop this word on my way out of here, back uptown. I want you to hear me very clearly. Things that don't move, listen, are monuments. Things that move are movements. You will notice God never called his people to be a monument. So something's wrong if I'm trying to preserve what God doesn't want. I knew I would lose all amens there. I knew it. I asked the Lord not to give me that point, but he gave it to me. Because most people think that if they know it, they should hold on to it. But every now and again, God has to strip you from what you know so that your mind can be renewed. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you'll present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You can't be transformed in your mind and still remember old things. At some point, we got to shut the door on where we've been. Because you can't cash a check twice. Y'all didn't hear what I just said to you. It's a felony to try to cash a check you've already cashed before. Okay, I'm in so much trouble. I ain't scared though. The Lord sent me on an assignment. Because where you got to go, you ain't never been before. And if you knew it, then he wouldn't have to tell you. He wouldn't have to take you. You got to learn to trust God to lead you in places you've never been before. Because it's bigger than you. I know it don't get amen, but it's the Bible. Okay. All right. Nobody left again. I'm good. Here's my closing point. We out of here. Number one, the Lord wanted to snatch me. He wanted to get me out that environment. Number two, he wanted to do something unusual. He wanted to lay his hand on me after he spit in my eyes. I had to go through something disrespectful so I can understand his touch of compassion. But watch the power of God. He then, after the man said that, he said, "You confused." So he touched him again. I just want to, before I close this lesson, I just need to tell you that he made it complete. Pastor, how did he make it complete? I'm glad you asked, because he touched him three times. If I was a better preacher, you'd be screaming right now. Pastor, what you mean he touched him three times? Think about it. Remember, he touched him when he grabbed him by the hand. Snatched him out of the village. Hit your neighbor, say, touch one. He spit in his eyes and then laid hands on him again. Hit your neighbor, say, touch two. Then he realized when the man gave the confused answer, he still did not abandon him. He touched him again and he received. Y'all don't hear me. I'm here to tell you, he'll keep touching you till you get it. The God I serve will keep on touching you till your life gets turned around. You didn't get saved the first time, but it was a couple touches after that made you realize God was up to something. God, okay. Would you find somebody crazy and just tell them he touched me again? Tell him my testimony is not that he touched me once. My testimony is that he touched me again. See, if I can number the times he touched me, I ain't been touched enough. I got to get out of here. If I can put a number on it, then it ain't enough. I need him to touch me to the point where I get it and everybody around knows something great has happened in my life. Somebody wave your hand and shout, he touched me. We got to go. The Bible says he touched him and his eyes was restored. Well, nothing gets restored unless it was there already. So the Lord brought me down here to Church of Redeemer to tell you, you might have been blind before this week, but there's a touch that God brought you with this revival. And after you come out of this week, he's restoring your sight back again. And where there was confusion, you'll see clearly. God will clear up the path for you. Elbow somebody and shout, no more confusion. Don't even sit down. Your neighbor gonna jump up for this, because this one sent me over the edge. Reverend Lingham, this one sent me over the edge. The text says Jesus touched him. Text says his eyes were restored. Hope you're ready for this. But the text says he made him look up. I got to get out of here. See, the problem was the first time is that he didn't look up. He looked out. But now after the Lord has given him another touch, he no longer looks out. He now looks up. Doesn't your Bible say, I'll lift up my eyes to the hills from which cometh my help? Because I know my help, it cometh from the Lord, because he made heaven and earth. Elbow somebody and say, just look up. That might be the problem with why you're still bound and why you still see things confused, because you've been looking to your right and to your left and there is no power. But if you learn to look up, you'll get all the strength you need, and everything that God will give you strength for where you're going. Would you shake a neighbor's hand and say, look up? Tell somebody else, say, look up. Because when you look up, that's where your strength comes from. Matter of fact, it confuses the enemy, because you're not looking where you're walking, but you're looking who's leading you. I don't have to see my road. I see my relationship. So I've learned to look up. That's why the Bible declares that when we learn to look up, our whole perspective changes. We see things in a way we've never seen them. I'll close by telling you, in the year that King Uzziah died, our prophet said, I saw the Lord, and he could not see him looking down, but he was high and lifted up. Push somebody and tell them, just look up. If you want your confusion to change into clarity, you got to look up to where he is, and he'll lead you in a way you've never been led before. Throw your hands up and shout, look up. Here's what the old hymn said, look and live, my brother, live. Don't look to your friends, but look to Jesus, and then you'll live. How do you know? Because it's recorded in his word. Somebody shout hallelujah. If you look up, greater things will happen. If you look up, great doors will open. If you look up, God will bring you out of something amazing. Now help your neighbor and tell them, neighbor, since I'm looking up, I'm changing my attitude. No longer will I miss any moment to praise God. I'll lift up mine eyes out to the Father, and I'll bless his holy name. Can we have church tonight? Would you give God the glory? Shake somebody else's hand and say, neighbor. Y'all ain't shook hands yet. Shake their hand and say, neighbor, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be in my mouth, and my soul shall make a boast unto the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Somebody wave, somebody holler, but give God glory. If you know he's making a way, bless him in advance. Thank him on the way. He's worthy. I said he's worthy. As loud as you can scream, he's worthy. Grab whoever you can and tell them, no more confusion, no more. Hit somebody else, say, no more confusion, no more. Listen to me. The devil wants you confused because it doesn't stop you, it delays you. And my assignment is complete, but before I go, I need to tell you, Church of Redeemer, there's a schedule for you that you can't miss. That's why you got to be prayed up with no confusion so you can see clearly. Wherever there is confusion, it clouds everything. Hard to make a decision when you're confused. Hard to know whether to step right or go left or be still when you're still confused. And some of you in this sanctuary, I don't know where you are today, but would you just wave if you know the word was for you? Just... I want you to stand on your feet. I'm getting ready to seal this up. But I need you to hear something tonight. I really had my heart set on something else. And the Lord started speaking to me and telling me that there were people who were just a little confused. I'm going to say something that may wreck you. Do you know you can be anointed and still a little confused? You know, there's some people tell you, you confused, you ain't anointed, God. You don't got no relationship with God. But I'm reminded of the prophet Elisha.
after those prophets were killed in the cave, he got a word from Jezebel. And he got a message that she was going to kill him. And the Bible says the next day he ran a day's journey into the wilderness and prayed and asked God to kill him. If that don't sound like confusion. Because here it is, you just had a victory. And now you running away from who you've already defeated. I don't know where you at in the sanctuary. Would you join hands? I'm going to pray. But the Lord sent me these two nights. It is not by accident. The Lord sent me these two nights to speak a word to you, to every leader in this church, to every person who is connected into this ministry. You need to ask God to give you clarity. No, not clarity on the business, clarity on which way I need to go. Lord, show me, remember from last night, show me the way for me. The enemy's trying to confuse your life with a whole bunch of stuff. And if you'll be honest, you're not going through just one thing. You got issues at the crib with the family, and then your older loved ones, you're trying to be there for them, and then issue at the job going kind of crazy, and now they want you to take another position, don't want to give you no more money for it, and then you got the issue on the block, and now they trying to do some things unseemly and bring some stuff into your neighborhood you ain't feeling, and then you come to church. God says, I know your confusion, I hear you. My assignment was to come to prove that God's been hearing your prayer. And he said, don't you do it. I watch how I clear up confusion. He said, I'm going to make the cloudy become clear. I want everybody in this church who believes that whoever you're touching, just tell your neighbor, say, in the name of Jesus. Squeeze their hand while you're saying, say, the Lord will make the cloudy become clear. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh yeah, you can thank him for it right now with your neighbor's hand. Just go ahead and thank the Lord for redemption and victory and restoration. Father, we thank you tonight. First of all, we can't ever deny when your presence shows up. And Lord, tonight we are faithful to understand your presence is real. We know your power is real. Lord, we want, before we go any further, thank you for hearing us. Many were living and wondering if the prayers were ever being heard. But some, Lord, we are comforted tonight just by knowing you hear us. You don't want us to remain in the confusion that the enemy tried to get us to live in. So, Father, we want to say thank you. Thank you for snatching us away from some stuff. Thank you for snatching us away from some relationships, from some bad people, from some bad business decisions. Lord, thank you for snatching us away. Our life has been made better because you snatched us. Secondly, Lord, we thank you for doing something unusual, putting us in a situation where we got to trust you. Lord, the truth of the matter is nobody can make something out of this but you. So, Lord, we thank you for putting us in it so you could show your glory through it. I pray for my neighbor right now and that they would get ready for the unusual, that you would do for them what they have never experienced before in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you for continuing to touch us. Oh, Lord, I thank you. We really didn't even deserve another touch because we messed up so many times.
But Lord, you touched us again, and 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 you touched us again. And Lord, I'm praying for my neighbor. Squeeze their hand. Lord, touch them again, and touch them again, and touch them again, Lord. Hey, yes, sir. Lord, touch them again. Glory. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for touching them. Lord, I pray no matter which way they look, I pray they don't look back. I pray they don't look to the right or to the left. Lord, please don't let them look down. But I pray they'll look up. I pray they'll see your glory. Look up and you'll show them something they've never seen before. Hallelujah. And Father, in everything we give you praise, thanks, and glory. In Jesus' mighty name. If you love the Lord, would you just lift your hands up as high as you expect to go? You'll notice tonight I didn't tell you to clap them. I told you to lift your hands up for a reason. Because every time you lift your hands, most people say it's because of victory. There are others who say it's because you're surrendering. But tonight I want you to know you're lifting your hands up because you're a vessel. And as your hands are lifted, the Lord is pouring out into the vessel. And his will is not just to fill you. His will is that your cup will overflow. Would you lift your hands and just thank him for an overflowing cup? Thank him for blessing you remarkably. Thank him for giving you what no one else could ever give. Thank him for doing for you what nobody could ever do. Come on, bless him. Thank you, Jesus.
I will.
Hallelujah.
Trust.
Hallelujah. That's it. That's it. That's it. Thank him while your hands are lifted. Say something to him while your hands are lifted. Listen, I'm telling you to do this because there are some things that only worship can clear up. And if you get an attitude of worship, it'll clear up all confusion. Watch this, because confused people can't handle worship. If you want to clear your circle and rid it of negativity, I dare you to turn your worship up. If you want the Lord to show up in your house mightily, turn your praise up. Take the next 40 seconds and do it right now. Lift up your voice with a loud praise. Make a joyful noise unto
trust. I will trust you, Jesus. I will trust.
The Lord's gonna restore your business. He's gonna restore your household. He's gonna restore your family. He's gonna restore you. Lord, I thank you. Restore your money. Restore your mind. Find somebody and tell him he gonna restore your money. He gonna restore your mind. He gonna restore everything about you. Restoration is now. Get it. I'll trust. Scream hallelujah. No, if you needed the word and you got it, just tell the Lord, hallelujah. It's the highest praise. You can't say it low. Shout it loud. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. I pray when you get back home, it's already fixed. Yes, Lord. I pray when you get back to work tomorrow, it's already taken care of. You get back to school and they're going to tell you, you know what, we forgot about it. You got some extra money. Y'all don't understand. We're getting ready to part. Wave if you're blessed tonight. If you know you needed to be here and glad you pressed away, just wave and say, Lord, I thank you.
Grab hands. Come across the aisles. Make sure everybody is touched. Create one massive prayer gathering.
I will.
Thank you, Jesus. Bless you.
I will.
One massive prayer gathering. That's it. That's it. That's right. Your Bible says, where two or three are gathered together in my name. Watch this, touching and agreeing. Because you know some folk are touch but won't agree. Oh, but who you touching tonight, just look at them and tell them, I believe we can agree tonight. Yeah, we can agree tonight. God's clearing it up for us. Yes, he is. I pray this has been a fulfilling revival for you. And as you depart from this sanctuary, you go out, and I want you to do what the man was not able to do. Because the Bible says the man couldn't tell nobody. I don't want you to not tell nobody. I want you to do whatever you can and tell everybody what the power of Christ can do in their life. And if they need a witness, tell them, I can't show you Jesus, but I can show you Jesus in me. Show them your scars. Show them where you've been. Empower them to live holy. If you believe that, say amen. I want you to shut your eyes. What I'm getting ready to pray for you is what's called the benediction. The benediction, it is the final blessing that is pronounced over the people as they would depart from the worship experience. And the idea is that what they receive in the benediction seals what they received in the service. And they leave out carrying the blessing, not leaving the blessing in the sanctuary. So in the name of Jesus, I pray for your people, Lord. Lord, you keep them, sustain them. Lord, may they never walk away from what you have purposed for them. And Father, I pray that you would clear up every cloudy thing. Now, Lord, as we leave from this time, bless each leader. Bless each leader that's connected in leadership to this church, who serves in whatever capacity. Lord, fill them with your Holy Spirit. May they be spirit-led and not fleshly thinking. In the name of Jesus. And I pray you would do for this church as only you can do. Open the floodgates of heaven. Pour out your blessing they don't have room to receive. And now as we leave from this time of worship, it is my delight, privilege, and honor to pray for your people and declare over them their latter is greater than their past. Their future is brighter than yesterday. What's coming for them is better than what they had and what they left. The worst is over, and the best is yet to come. In Jesus' name, if you receive it, scream hallelujah. Hug everybody you can and tell them he's clearing up your confusion.
I will
trust.
I will.